energy in the arena tonight was unbelievable. It was crazy, and it feels good. You know, we're happy that we're able to do things here in Milwaukee. We're happy that we are going to the third round, and we're happy that you know the people are into it. I don't think I've ever seen people in Milwaukee be so excited about basketball.
Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Bucks Podcast. My name is KJ Eichstead. I'll be your host, and I'm joined today by the co-founder, Alex Eichstead, to celebrate the Bucks going up 3-0 against Miami. Alex, thanks for joining us. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Bucks fans, happy to be back on the show. And the Bucks are up 3-0 against Miami. It's like role reversal from a year ago, and to do it in such a dominant fashion is just, it's even surprising for me. So I'm excited to dive into it. And yeah, let's get into it.
Absolutely. You know, the Bucks, they knocked off the Miami Heat. What was kind of like a defensive struggle in the first quarter, neither team could get the lid off the rim. The Bucks ended up winning by 29, putting up 113, and they never let up on that defense against the Heat, holding them to a stifling 84 points, which is absurd. It was really impressive, honestly. You know, this team has gone through adversity in the previous 2 years, to say the least, whether that's blowing the 2-0 lead versus Toronto, whether it was, you know, getting crashed and burned out of the playoffs last year against this very same franchise. It was so sweet, so satisfying to see the Bucks just really take care of business and offer the Heat no breathing room, really no hope at all. I remember there was a time last night when Pat Connaughton hit a three, and I described it as spirit-breaking because the Heat were making their final run. Like, it was like the Bucks had all of this lead, and then the Heat were clawing back with, like, maybe 10 minutes left in the fourth, and they maybe got it down to, like, 18 or something like that, where the Bucks were still comfortably ahead, but it was almost like, you know, the sheer size of the leads in the last two games made that kind of a nerve-wracking moment. And then we just got hot again, and then Pat Connaughton just, like, broke the spirit with a three, and then from there the floodgates opened up, and it was kind of nothing was the same. So unfortunately, the Bucks suffered a huge loss. They're 3-0, but they lost one of their key players, Dante DiVincenzo, and we're gonna be touching on like how they will replace him, who steps up. We're gonna get into a few fan questions, go some good Bucks, bad Bucks, talk about, you know, what's expected of a team that's up 3-0. Shout out to the fans worldwide. We're gonna be shouting out some of you guys. Looking ahead, maybe some predictions, and then, yeah, Alex, without further ado, let's get into it. So the Bucks had kind of smooth sailing, relatively smooth sailing. You know, they shot 36% from three, 78% from the line. Both those are, you know, relatively good. You know, the free throws are probably above average a little bit. The three-pointers are probably slightly below average, but 36%, that's not really like, oh, we had an off-night shooting. That's kind of right around that median. And Giannis, he didn't really make a three, but Chris Middleton was 3 for 9. That's 33%. Jrue Holiday was 2 for 4. He balled out. And, yeah, Alex, I'm just going to throw it right to you. Obviously, which of the big three impressed you the most?
Well, that's no question, Jrue Holiday. I think everyone is just kind of impressed with the way he's attacked the playoffs. He was a plus 41 against Miami in game three, and that's Bucks. That's a high for plus minus for a Bucks player since 1997. So you have to go back over 20 years to find a player who's had a performance like that in the playoffs. But it wasn't just Drew. It's almost like, you know, the Bucks have turned this Miami team, which is a good basketball team, and they've made them look inferior. Like, the Miami has only lost three games by over 29 points or more all season. And you know who all those teams, those games are against, all three of those? The Milwaukee Bucks. It's unbelievable. Like, the Bucks right now look like a super loaded squad. And when Drew's posting a plus 41, when Chris is starting off the game with an early four-point play that's just butter, mm-hmm. And then he had a beautiful bounce pass the very next play to Giannis for the two-handed slam. I mean, it's like the Miami Heat are just overpowered. You kind of said that we were talking about the game a little earlier, and you just kind of said, like, you know, the Miami Heat look like they're just completely overpowered in this series, and that was really on display last night in Game 3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was really no doubt that the Bucks have way more talent than the Miami Heat. Even last year, you could make an argument that without Jrue Holiday and with Eric Bledsoe, who is not necessarily a playoff player, that was a little, you know, in fact, a lot closer than it should have been because in terms of the talent gap, because Miami's supporting cast was stronger. You know, they traded a couple of those key guys. They no longer have Jay Crowder. They no longer have Kelly Olynyk. And they had Victor Oladipo, who's a fine player in his own right, but he's not obviously healthy right now. This year, there's just no doubt the talent gap. Like, if you line up the Bucks' big three, Giannis, Chris, and Drew, then you compare them to, you know, Dragic, Butler, and Bam, there's really no comparison. You know, it's like we may have looked at the Heat like a formidable opponent, which we'll give them their respect because obviously, you know, they're a quality basketball team, but you know, there's no real comparison in terms of the talent there. Even if you look at the supporting cast, like Bobby Portis, Bryn Forbes, Dante, you know, get well soon, Dante. But like PJ Tucker, playoff guy who kind of fills his role very nicely. You know, there's really just no comparison in terms of the talent gap. And I think the perception was warped just because Milwaukee got smacked in the mouth by Miami last year. And to carry over an analogy from our previous episode, kind of kicked while they were down, blows rained upon them when they were down until they got knocked out in a five-game series. This was not that same Miami team. You know, the Bucks are not the same Milwaukee Bucks team, even though we did have a lot of continuity. I think now that it is 3-0, it's allowing us to see with a little clearer perspective that, frankly, the Bucks are just the better team. And, Al, you know, going off that, you mentioned Jrue Holiday, how elite he was. You know, he keeps racking up these assist numbers, 19 points, 12 assists, 3 rebounds, and an absurd plus-minus, just playing really efficient basketball. What'd you notice from Chris Middleton last night? What'd you notice from Giannis last night?
Well, Giannis, I think the Shaq said it best. He's used to just seeing Giannis highlights when he watches a Bucks game. And now, it's like Chris Middleton, he was a plus 26. He had 22 points. He was 8 of 16, shooting 50% again from the field with 8 rebounds and 5 assists. He's balling. I mean, no matter how you slice it and dice it, Chris is better than any player that the Heat have in this series. You can make a case for Jimmy Butler, but the way they're playing right now,
Chris is more skilled.
Chris is more skilled, and he's putting on a better display. But then you look at Giannis. And Giannis with the 17 points, 17 rebounds. The thing that I love about Giannis is the chemistry him and Chris are developing. Like, these two have played together for a long time. Entire career of Giannis Antetokounmpo, if you think about it, that's like...
We're in year 8.
Yeah, that's like, you know, if you say... They say this about friendships. If you're friends with someone for more than 7 years, then you may be a lifelong friend. Well, Chris and Giannis, they are like that type of brothers, and their chemistry is on full display this playoffs. I just go back to that play that was early in the game, like Chris coming off a screen and just feeding a beautiful bounce pass to Giannis, who then flies through the air for the jam. It's like... Wow. It's like years in the past, you were hoping that the Bucks would grow into this team. Mm-hmm. And here we are. And Bucks fans, I got some great news for you. No team has ever squandered a 3-0 lead. So hopefully that does not become a reality here. And you can rest assured that they'll look to close this series out soon. So I'm feeling really good about Chris and the rest of the unit right now. Who's another player that caught your eye?
Another player that caught my eye. I mean, Pat Connaughton, you know, 9 points in 18 minutes with a plus 19. This guy gets a lot of flack around the city, and I just can't understand why. He's just one of these guys. We talk about it time and time again, whether it's with the Badgers players, the Packers players, the Bucks players, or the Brewers players. Pat Connaughton is an impact player. Is
he has 3 threes.
He was 3 for 5 from 3, including an epic bank shot 3.
Yeah, I think that was the one.
He pretty much got clotheslined.
Yeah, he got fouled.
He's also, what people don't know is he's an incredibly intelligent, smart individual. So it's like he's not going to be barking at the ref unless, you know, he blatantly did get fouled. And it's hilarious because it looked to me like he got clotheslined, and maybe it wasn't quite that bad, but if you ever see some of these NFL hits, like
it was no like call it, for Connington.
no call Connington. Maybe that's like an unfortunate nickname. But Pat really impressed me, and you know, kind of weaving it into the storyline, you know, Dante, unfortunately, he's been really impacting the game in a lot of these ways that don't appear in the box score, but a lot can be said of the, you know, I'm gonna say this from a neutral perspective, right? So Bucks fans, you be the judge. A lot of people might say Dante is a little bit out of control at times, and then last night we saw a little bit of that. And I'm by no means saying that his injury was a reflection of this, but it was one of those things where, you know, he was flying all over the floor, and all of a sudden he was hurt, and you're like, oh man, you know, maybe he rolled his ankle or something. Well, turns out it's a tendon that unfortunately is out for the year, and we wish him a very speedy recovery. But there's no doubt the Bucks are going to miss him. And one of our fans actually wrote in a question. I just want to shout him out. Alex, do you have it in front of you? Oh, I got it right here, actually.
I got it. Yeah.
It is
Charlie Wellert. He's wondering the impact of the potential loss of Dante.
Well, you know what the impact is Pat's going to play more. You know, and I think Bryn Forbes is going to play more. And I think maybe Jeff Teague, who got it in garbage time. Like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know if I want Jeff Teague playing more, but we may even need him because Dante is a guard. You know, it's like PJ Tucker. You can ask him to play a little bit more. But, like, they're not the same type of player. You know, Jeff Teague and Pat Connaughton and Dante DiVincenzo, while they are very different, they do have a little more similarities than some of these larger guys like a Bobby Portis, PJ Tucker, even a Bryn Forbes, who I would argue doesn't really have much ball handling ability, but he's a lights out shooter from behind the arc. Guess what Bryn Forbes did last night? Real casual, 11 points, 3-for-7 from deep in 20 minutes. A star in his role. Star in his role.
What he also did is him and Bobby Portis, I've kind of noticed this, they each scored a three in the first quarter off the bench. And if you just think about what that does for your basketball team, like 6 points from two guys who are maybe coming in near the end of the first quarter when Miami only scored 14 points in the first. And the Bucks, they were struggling for offense last night in the first. And just to get some like influx of offense, I mean, Bobby Portis was 5-of-7. Bryn Forbes is 4-of-8. Pat Conning was 3-for-6. All those guys, PJ Tucker was 2-for-4. They're all shooting 50% or better from the field. And when your bench is doing that on the road, that should put the league on notice.
Absolutely. And I think it almost is an exciting thing, Bucks fans. Like, if we're going to spin a positive out of this, Dante, while he is a big loss, and we wish him a speedy recovery, he only played 9 minutes last night. And honestly, like, the game was still very within reach for both teams when Dante went down. So it's kind of like a neutral standpoint where the Heat were giving it everything they had in their home court. And then guys like Pat, guys like Bobby Portis, guys like Bryn Forbes, and the Bucks big three, of course, you know, it was like, that's the squad we have going forward. And that's the squad that ended up blowing out the Heat last night. So Al, any final thoughts on the Dante scenario before we get to these other questions?
I've got one final thought, and it's maybe something our international listeners can relate to. But you know, it's always tragic when a player gets an injury. But you know how when you're playing, say, for example, FIFA, and I haven't played video games in years, but when you did play FIFA, and all of a sudden the game pauses, and it's like someone got injured, you got to sub them out, and you're like, who got injured? And you're wondering if it's going to be your Giannis, your star, or if it's going to be like a role player. And Dante is one of these players who, you know, never like to see him get injured, big fans of him, but he is a guy you're like, okay, I've got multiple players on the bench that we can put into his position, take those minutes from Dante, and really not suffer any massive loss. You're like, okay, I can still win this thing. And I think that's how Bucks fans should feel. They should feel that, I mean, this team is humming right now. Yes, it is a, you know, it hurts to lose a player like Dante, but it's like, you know, you slot a guy like Bryn Forbes in who's practically, he's earned this opportunity. I imagine he'll start, but maybe it will be Jeff Teague. Maybe it'll be someone, maybe it'll even be PJ Tucker. But I do think that the Bucks have the depth and the the right personnel to fill his role.
Absolutely. Well, and it's like, here's the bottom line. The Bucks' big three are still there. And that is really all that matters. I mean, yes, the supporting cast is huge, but, like, you know, when we're going up against Brooklyn in the next round, which looks very, very likely, I mean, it's going to be Giannis, Drew, and Chris versus KD, James, and Kyrie. And, boy, is it going to be sweet when the Bucks beat them. Without getting too far ahead of ourselves, I'm going to get to Fletch Uels. Fletch Uels asks, genuine question. Knowing the Bucks, knowing they're going to get swept, knowing the Heat are going to get swept, he means, how dirty are the Heat going to play against Milwaukee? If they're going to get swept, might they throw as many elbows as possible? You know, that's actually a really high-level question, honestly. That's kind of like a deeper analysis question. And I think, luckily, the league, it's not in the league's best interest for any of the Bucks players to, like, go down in terms of their stars. But it is a valid, valid point. Like, I think the refs are going to be, you know, they're aware of this. They're aware of kind of Miami's style of play. And hopefully the Bucks maybe address it before the game. Like maybe Coach Bud says something like a good coach would do, which shout out to Coach Bud. He's been playing a lot, or the team has been playing a lot better, which is his responsibility. So we're happy to give credit where credit's due. And Alex, I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
I don't. Even though there were a couple plays that you could call maybe dirty for Miami in this series, I don't believe that Miami is a dirty team. I don't think Spoelstra is a coach that preaches that. I think he coaches the right fundamentals. He coaches the right defensive tactics and offensive tactics. And I believe, you know, Jimmy Butler, as their leader, he inspires hard-nosed basketball, but by no means has Jimmy Butler ever been a dirty player himself either, following his career from his college days at Marquette through the Bulls to where we are today. He'll get under a player's skin for sure, and he'll get under your team's skin like he did in Minnesota. But
well, Minnesota's just soft. Let's just call a spade. They're soft.
I don't think Jimmy is or this Heat team is looking to – you know, cause any problems for the Bucks. I don't know if it'll be a sweep. I think maybe the Bucks will try to put them out, but at the end of the day, a sweep is that's deflating for a franchise, and especially one like Miami that beat the Bucks a year ago. Let's reverse roles here for a sec. So imagine the Bucks last year had a great year. We come back again this year expecting to even improve off of last season. You know, you're in the finals, and all of a sudden you almost get swept first round by the team you beat last year. Like, that would even hurt more than what the Bucks are doing right now, kind of having their revenge on Miami. So,
Well, there's no doubt. Yeah, go ahead, finish it.
Or I was just going to say, like, I don't know if the Bucks will sweep, but I do feel like this it's a hurting franchise right now, so there's a good chance the Bucks will put them out.
Well, I got some news for you, man. The Bucks are going to sweep this series. Charles Barkley said it, and I'm saying it right now. And this is my opinion, different from Charles, but, like, the Heat, there's almost mercy in the sweep. And we touched on this in the first couple minutes of the pod. Like, this isn't last year's Miami Heat team. You know, it's just Milwaukee is not the same. The Heat are not the same. And I think the Bucks are going to sweep them. I think the spirit's broken. And frankly, the talent gap is just too wide. Like, the focus has been established. And it actually leads into our next question from Zach J. Hansen. Thanks for writing in. Do you think the Bucks relaxed on defense in the regular season to save their energy for the playoffs? It's like night and day. Alex, what do you think?
Relaxed? It's like, yes. I mean, we're talking regular season versus playoff basketball. There's no question that the NBA is one of those leagues with a definitive switch.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say it's not like the Bucks stars are playing these excessive minutes right now. It's just that as like a unit, they're playing really good defense. And it starts from their defensive leader, who I really believe Drew Holiday is kind of risen as the defensive leader. Giannis is the anchor then. I believe Giannis anchors the defense, cleaning the glass, you know, protecting his teammates when essentially they get beat. But it starts with Drew picking up his man pretty high up the court and just kind of causing Miami to go late into the shot clock. And just think about what that does when you only have 16 seconds or 17 seconds to run a play versus you have 20 or 22 seconds. Just that constant pressure of having to work that ball up the court against a guy like Jrue Holiday. Mm. It's annoying on guards. And then you get past Jrue Holiday and you think you've got a nice floater and you got the Greek freak coming out of nowhere, DPOY, to swat you away. He didn't have any blocks last night, but Brook had two. So it's not easy going against this Milwaukee defense right now, and I don't expect it to be. I really do feel like this team is built pretty well defensively, and they should have showed it more in the regular season to answer his question. But I do believe there was a switch set. What about you?
Oh, they just flipped a switch. They just flipped it.
I just flipped a switch.
Exactly. You know, they flipped the switch. I think it's so obvious just from covering the team all year after covering the team the previous 2 years. Like, we saw maybe playoff quality ball in the regular season from the Bucks and maybe not their opponents when we had all those crazy head-to-head wins, but we had these catastrophic playoff losses. But this year, there's no doubt, like, it was not – frankly, I'm just going to be honest, it was not a very enjoyable regular season to follow and to watch.
There weren't a lot of those big regular season, like, wins for the Bucks this year that really felt
Well, the one time that really stood out to me is, like, right when Coach Bud was on his hottest seat, right? Like, you know, he was on the hottest seat. Maybe the Bucks lost, like, 5 or 6. It was, I think this was February or March.
Yeah.
And then the Bucks rattled off, like, 6 or 7 straight wins. That was, like, the one time I could sense the fans in the city was, like, you know, coming around, actually getting enthusiasm for the team. But now you can see it. It's right back. You know, people are seeing quality basketball being played on both ends. They're seeing tremendous effort, and frankly, they're seeing excellence. Like, this team is balling right now. And with that, I think it's a great time to get into good Bucks, bad Bucks. Alex, start you right off. Tell me your good Bucks.
My good Bucks. So, I got to just say this. Jrue Holiday, in his post-game speech, he described what the Bucks had right now as the juice, quote-unquote. And throw it back to the O.J. Mayo days. I'm not talking about that juice. We're talking about a new type of juice that's like energy. It's like an electricity that, or maybe a sense of urgency that the Bucks have right now. And it's pretty clear that like this Milwaukee team now has like a different persona, like a different personality than they did last year. Like when Giannis is the de facto leader, and when it was like Giannis and just Chris, both of those guys are naturally quite shy. And I'm not saying Jrue is, like, super outspoken, but just having a third there that, like,
fresh
adds to, like, the chemistry and a fresh voice, like you said, someone who's got some experience sweeping some good teams in the playoffs. I just think it's, like, the Bucks have kind of, like, a playoff culture change going on right now that at least I'm seeing. I haven't seen the Bucks really been this dominant. Even if you go back to the Detroit series last season where the Bucks,
are you talking about 2 years ago?
When they swept the Detroit Pistons.
And then the gentleman sweep versus Celtics, too. That was dominance, but it's almost like we didn't even know what we were getting ourselves into. We didn't even know what Kawhi had in store for us. That was impressive. You know, it did not feel good to go up 2-0 and then lose 4 straight games. But I would agree, and just to add on to your point, Bobby Portis, you know, this guy was from Little Rock, Arkansas, stayed at Arkansas for college, came into the draft with the type of confidence where you said, Bobby Portis, and they look back on it, is going to be the best player in this draft. And guess what? You could argue he's maybe not the best player in his draft class, but for someone who went in the late teens, early 20s area, he's in the NBA right now in the top 5, top, you know, 10 guys in three-pointers, and he's a versatile big man. You know, so Bobby Portis has always had the mindset, like, he is one of these guys who adds a little bit of that rah-rah in the locker room. Then you look at a guy like P.J. Tucker, another guy who we bring in, who's been scoring a little more. You gotta respect that. But, you know, like both of these guys add new voices much like you said. You know, it's like Jrue is not necessarily this outspoken alpha as much. You know, but sometimes you don't need all of it. You don't need like just a singular alpha. Like it might help, it might work in certain scenarios, but the Bucks have a really good thing going, and it's almost going to be interesting to see in the next round, you know, how they go up against James Harden, who I would call like a sensitive guy, Kevin Durant, who I would call a sensitive guy, and then Kyrie Irving, who I would call, you know, who knows, right? Like, sometimes it's hard to really tell what any of those guys are thinking.
Tell him Uncle Drew.
You call him Uncle
Drew. Crazy Uncle, yeah. You don't know what you're going to get.
Honestly, this is crazy to say, Bucks fans, so you're going to have to let us know what you think. It's almost crazy, but I think James Harden is, like, the most level-headed of that big three. And, like, he's not exactly sensitive himself. I mean, would you agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, you got KD who's getting in burners, you know, left and right. Just
I mean,
going.
The fact that they had the Michael Rapaport
then,
thing.
Then you got Kyrie that. Irving who believed the earth was flat. James Harden, you might be spot on that one. It's like when Blake Griffin is the one talking sense in the locker room, your franchise is like in trouble. But Steve Nash.
Let's not get too cocky. You know, like the thing is, I also think that that's an incredible point of weakness for them. I think when the going gets tough, when the Bucks defense gets clamped, there's going to be adversity and there's going to be some disagreements. KD's going to be like, you know, Petty being like, give me the ball. James Harden's going to be like, man, if you just give me the ball, we'd win. And we know Kyrie does whatever he wants out there. So it's like, good luck to Steve Nash. Like you said, one of the more smart, intelligent NBA voices to ever play the game. But, like, good luck, man. You know, that's kind of a – it's going to be interesting. You know, it's exciting.
I'm really excited to see how that big three will work in, like
– Adversity,
yeah.
And I think just before we get too ahead of ourselves, we do have another game versus the Heat. We are very excited for it. But my good Bucks is the Bucks big three. You know, they combined for 58 points, 28 rebounds, 22 assists, and that's a 98 combined minutes. So Giannis, Drew, and Chris remain undefeated when they're playing together in the playoffs. And just to expand on that, it's like Giannis finally, after all these years of struggle, he finally has sufficient help to take the pressure off in the sense where he doesn't have to score 40 and control the ball every possession for this team to win. And I just want to shout out John Horst and John Hammond before him for kind of assembling this big three of talented two-way players. I mean, John Hammond, just the sheer brilliance to draft Giannis when he was such an unknown, the sheer brilliance to parlay Brandon Jennings into Brandon Knight and Chris Middleton is what a lot of people consider to throw in. You know, I think he was seeing things that not anyone else was seeing.
That was unbelievable trade if you
I mean just unbelievable. Wow. But then going further, you got to give John Horst a lot of credit for signing these guys in Milwaukee. It's almost like he kind of like wrapped the bow on the gift, right? Like John Hammond gave you the gift of Giannis, the gift of Chris. John Horst is like, hey, you know, I have my gift, which is Drew Holiday, but I'm also going to wrap up the present and sign, seal, and deliver it to the Bucks fans and the Bucks franchise for the next couple of years, giving us a window of contention. Bucks fans, how epic is that? So with that being said, Al, bad Bucks, man. What do you got for us?
Bad Bucks. I mean, it's tough, and obviously the Dante injury is that's some sad Bucks. But I would say the bad Bucks is that we didn't get the one seed, and now instead of having to watch potentially, you know, a team like Brooklyn have to beat up against the 76ers in a series, the Bucks are going to have to go right from potentially sweeping a team into a dogfight. So I think that's one of those things where hopefully Miami does poise a little challenge to the Bucks in the sense that, you know, they don't beat the Bucks in game four, but if the Bucks blow out Miami again, that's just not going to be the case against Brooklyn. Like, Brooklyn is, they have too much pride riding on everything to get blown out like that. And so I would like to see the Bucks, you know, continue to be locked in. I mean, this is like one of those, are the Bucks going to coast to the end of the Heat series, or are they going to come out and finish and get take care of business? And I really hope that it's the latter half in that one and they take care of business. How about you? I mean, we're grasping for straws. We're up 3-0. You got any bad Bucks over here?
Yeah. No, I do have some bad Bucks. And as you were saying, and I was like thinking, I was like, what should I say? Well, here's my bad Bucks. Butterfingers. I've seen a lot of Butterfingers on the floor lately. You know, not to name names, but Lopez, you know, even Giannis, just just guys not maybe holding the ball as strong as they could be. And luckily, like Alex said, we're up 3-0, and there's really not much to complain about. Obviously, losing Dante killed. I mean, that doesn't kill. That hurts. That hurts. We wish him the speedy recovery. But, you know, I think before the Bucks took control of that game last night, like, they could have really, really, really played better. And it's funny because we actually put out a tweet saying, like, describe this game in one word. Or, sorry, one word, because it was ugly until the Bucks
were on
the floodgate. You know, it really wasn't that entertaining. But it was exciting and entertaining because that's just what playoff basketball is, especially when your team's in it. So I think that's a good time to wrap up our good Bucks, bad Bucks section. And, you know, I just want to give a special shout out to all the fans worldwide for staying up late. We salute you. Eric McDonald tweeted in saying, "We're a family." It's like, you're darn right. You're darn right.
Bucks fans are loyal fans.
They're a loyal fan. Helen Barbianis said, "Thankfully, here in Australia, it was a 9:30 a.m. start." Well, that's kind of nice. Raffaello said, 6:45 a.m. in Cyprus right now." Like, that sounds like a Drake song. 6:45 a.m. in Cyprus. I wonder what kind of
coffee and Bucks.
Giannis Cameroon flag. His name is Man Like Sarpong. That's his handle. You know, he's tuned in from the Cameroon. That looks like so. I mean, Lord knows it's late over there. Max Milwaukee Buck. He said 3:10 a.m. I'm guessing that was about, you know, 6 hours. So he's probably in the U.K. or something like that. And then this is hilarious. Fa de Gritos Yamero. His ad is like Crixton with an X in there where the I should be. He kind of tweeted like a sad looking face, but like the, you know, like raising the arm up in terms of like a support thing. And it looks like he's hailing in from Portugal or somewhere where it was indeed very late. And, yeah, Bucks fans, you know, we just want to thank you guys for tuning in all around the world. You know, we see the countries. We see you guys shout coming in from all sorts of places. And if you give me just one moment, I'm actually going to be able to tell you where all these fans tuned in from.
Yeah, in the meantime, I also want to echo what KJ said. It's just, it's incredible that the Bucks have grown into an international team. I was talking to a lot of people who were really excited about potentially seeing the Bucks play in France. And, like, when's the last time the Bucks have been, a marquee team to see overseas? It's kind of like the influence of the Bucks and Giannis and
the Giannis effect.
Yeah, it's the Giannis effect. We talk about it with, like, a lot of franchises. Like the LeBron effect, or maybe even the Aaron Rodgers effect. And Giannis has one of those effects that not only translate in the sport of basketball, but also gets a lot of Europeans and people around the world into the sport. And so I think it's just really cool that you guys are tuning in from, you know, all over the world and, you know, spreading the Bucks love. Keep repping them.
Absolutely, and you just kind of made me want to shout out. You know, I'm seeing people pop up, like, for example, UK Bucks. We saw him, you know, boozing heavy last night, celebrating the win. You know, Bucks France. We see them spreading the good love of Bucks in France, and that's really exciting. Not only that, but people tuned in from the U.S., Mexico, the United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, Norway. And what's really interesting is St. Lucia is exploding right now. And that tells me that people are getting out and getting on vacation, watching their Bucks from the islands. Sweden, the Philippines, Nigeria, Germany, Greece. We have a really solid following in Greece. Shout out to you guys. Ireland, Spain, Serbia, Argentina, Switzerland, New Zealand, Finland, Denmark, Scandinavia, shout out, France, Morocco, South Korea, Brazil, Cyprus. I'm really happy to see Cyprus because that's just one of those countries that's just, it's out there. You know, it's like, I think a lot of people forget about it. Ghana, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Portugal, Gambia, Taiwan, Bulgaria, Thailand, Chile, Hong Kong, Turkey, Uganda. We're really thrilled to see Uganda starting to tune in. Netherlands, Japan, Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan. That is a new one. And guess where we had our first listener as well? Israel. Wow. That's super special just to see the listener base keep growing. Bucks fans, you know, from Ike Bucks to you, from Milwaukee to worldwide, we salute you. We're thankful for you guys. We're excited to be on this journey with you guys. And, You know,
and girls, and we're hyped.
Absolutely. You know, it's special. It's really special. And up next, we got one more game. You know, the job is not done. I mean, you know, technically there could be more than one game, but we think that, you know, it's tomorrow night. It's actually it's Saturday at 12:30 p.m. So all you international fans, I hope we'll see you tuning in when I ask you to drop those flags. I want to see where you're coming tuning in from, because it's going to be special. Let's celebrate together. I hope it's a good celebration, maybe after that Champions League final, right? So you guys are going to have to let us know who you're pulling for in that one. And Al, prediction real quick before we end up, predictions for game four?
Game four, Bucks close it out, 110-104.
Okay, so kind of like a final battle from the Heat. Like
final battle from the Heat, but not enough. What about you?
One might call it the last stand, but I think the Bucks will pull this one out as well. I think we'll pull it out by, like, you know, low double digits, maybe like 11 points, something like that, where it'll probably be a close game for three quarters, like much of the, you know, 2018 and 2019 Bucks seasons. But so many of those games, the Bucks would blow the team out in like the fourth quarter, whereas they might have been able to keep it close for most of the game. But that final quarter is just like a whole different ball game, and I think that's what we're going to see tomorrow night. So
I've got one more thought.
Go for it.
The Heat, they're not getting the last laugh here. The Bucks are getting the last laugh. I mean, the Miami Heat is a Jimmy Butler away for if he leaves or something from imploding. I mean, this franchise, from paying Bam the big dollars, who's kind of been exposed to all of a sudden trading a lot of depth for a Victor Oladipo who's kind of injury prone and he's out this playoffs. I mean, they got old guys like Ariza and Iguodala playing 15 plus minutes a game.
Well, Tyler Herro, I mean, frankly, he's Shelton Milwaukee kid making it to the big time, but man, just a tale of two seasons, a tale of two players. And even when they gave Bam that max deal, I was like, am I that out of touch with the NBA where I think there's no way in hell this guy deserves a max deal? You know, but it's like, sure enough, he's getting exposed, and I don't think
he stop Giannis in a series, you get paid, but that doesn't help your franchise.
Exactly.
Long term, no.
I think a lot of Heat fans are probably like, okay, you know, I guess we did make the finals last year, which you can't really argue with that. But
no, you can't.
Would I have thrown Bam a max deal? Hell no.
No. And so it's like the Bucks, they're poised to continue not only winning this series, but next series and into the future. So a lot of optimism in Milwaukee and worldwide. So, I'm excited. You know, round one's going well.
Round one is going well. I just want to remind our listeners that we do have an amazing series. It's called Badgers and Friends. You can find that on our Ike Badgers podcast. Every week we interview a different Badgers player. Some of these guys are doing some seriously cool stuff, whether it's on the field, off the field, in the NFL, you know, draft process, in the community, you know, finance. There's just a lot of really cool stuff going on in these stories. And we're also giving away a Joe Schobert jersey that's signed by Joe Schobert, $300 value. Basically, this guy was a kid from Waukesha, which is just outside of Milwaukee, for those that don't know. And he had no scholarship offers despite being a state champion. The only opportunity he had to go play onward was at a small school named North Dakota State, and he could only walk on. They didn't even have a scholarship for him. Well, it turns out Wisconsin, at the last minute, the University of Wisconsin offered him a spot to walk on. They said, hey man, we can't give you a scholarship. You can still pay full tuition and go to all your classes and somehow make ends meet. And if you can get on the football team, you can do that. Well, he ended up becoming a star first team All-American, getting drafted with the first pick in the fourth round, going to the Cleveland Browns, orchestrating part of their turnaround, leading the NFL in tackles, and parlaying that into a $55 million contract, in which now he's going up against guys like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers last year. He's a Waukesha kid. You know, he was cool enough to give Ike Badgers some of his time, and we're giving away his jersey. He signed a jersey, and we want to give that back to the community. So send Ike Badgers a DM. That's Ike_Badgers on Twitter. You guys can get involved with that. And lastly, Aaron Rodgers has spoken. You know, we just put out our reaction. Aaron Rodgers dropped a bombshell you know, on SportsCenter the other night, and everybody's talking about it. So don't
miss some primetime entertainment over there. Don't miss that.
Don't miss Ike's take on Aaron Rodgers' recent comments. We also got a giveaway going over there. Eric Stokes jersey, the Packers' first-round pick. Get in on that early. Just send Ike Packers a DM. It's Ike_Packers. Bucks fans, want to thank you for listening worldwide, throughout the country, throughout this beautiful state of Wisconsin. We're a family, and I think there's going to be a very, very happy ending in our future. So Alex, thanks for joining us. Until next time, Bucks fans, fear the deer.
You're now listening to Ike Music.